And we're just so thankful for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus and that avenue of prayer, and that God indeed does hear and answer our prayers. I can't help but be impressed with the fact that our Bible class this morning focused on the parable of the sower. And in particular, we looked at this morning the parable of the mustard seed, and how the kingdom of heaven begins with that seed of the Word of God, and just a small thing. And I couldn't help but think that it's kind of like a pep talk that God was giving the apostles. He knew it was just going to be from these few people that the word of the seed of the God's kingdom was going to go into all the world. And Jesus could see the end of the matter from the very beginning of it, from the very inception of it. He could see that it was going to grow into a very great thing. And our song service this morning asked the question, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? And the song that we just sang, let us be taking this word to others, that there are others who want to hear and need to hear. So we certainly have a great responsibility. I couldn't help but think that as we were looking at the parable of the mustard seed, how that the statement is made there, I think that the first place that we looked at was in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. It's good to look at these parallel passages because some places we've just given a brief statement about it, and other places we're given long explanations about it. But in Mark chapter 4, Mark's record is verse 11. It says, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the Scriptures, you read that and say, well, that sounds, I thought God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Word of God is for, is to bring people to repentance. But we need to understand that Jesus was talking about what was foretold in Isaiah chapter 6. He's bringing up those words that were spoken to Isaiah. You know, when Isaiah would speak up and say, here am I, send me. And he's going to send him. And he's going to send him with the words of God, but not everybody's going to receive the word of God. So what's the point of preaching the word of God to people that aren't going to receive it? That word is going to judge them in the future time. They will not be able to stand before God to say, well, I didn't know. We're to preach the word of God's truth to everyone, whether they receive it or don't receive it. Now, in Matthew's account of that, find Matthew's account. I think I have it back here, but Matthew goes into a long explanation of the fact that, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him it shall be given, to him and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So is the problem that they haven't heard? No. The problem is that they hear and are not willing to do what they hear from the Word of God. And that leads us into the passage that I want to look at this morning. in Matthew chapter 16. He says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his own works. Jesus used this incident to emphasize a central aspect of discipleship. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be tried and be put to death, and I'm going to be raised the third day. I don't know if Peter didn't hear that last part or not, but he certainly heard that Jesus was going to be arrested, that he was going to be put to death. And Peter didn't like that. We're not going to allow this to happen. We don't want you to be put to death. Peter, you're mindful of the things of men. You're mindful of what you want. You're not mindful of what is necessary, what God sees, and what is necessary. It is absolutely essential that we understand that we must deny ourselves. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Why is it that so many people do not come after Christ? Because they're not willing to deny themselves. Why do they offer excuses? Say they find problems with a church or a preacher or religion or Christians. Why do they look at the faults of Christians and not at the purity of Christ? We're not asking anyone to be like other Christians. We're asking each and every one of us to be like Christ. And for any of us to be like Christ, we must deny ourselves. The word deny is translated from the Greek word paranomai. And this is actually a compound word where aronomai means to deny, and apo, the very first part of the word, is an amplifier or an intensifier. So it's not think about denying yourself or deny yourself in some places. No, you must deny yourself completely and entirely. Together they carry the meaning of utterly and entirely. This is the same Greek word used to describe Peter's denial of the Lord in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75. When Peter said, I do not know the man, he was completely disowning the Lord. Jesus is saying we must completely disown ourselves. We must deny ourselves and follow him. He is stating that in order to follow him, we must fully and completely deny ourselves. Denying self is not the same as self-denial. And we often, I think, make that mistake. We think about the fact that we practice self-denial and we practice self-control when we give up things and activities for a particular cause or benefit. We might diet to lose weight. We might cut back in spending to save money. All of these things are good. They require discipline. And certainly self-denial and self-control is part of denying self, but it's not what Jesus was talking about. Although self-denial is an application to the Christian here, Jesus is calling for us to deny ourselves totally, completely, and to surrender ourselves entirely unto Him. This is not an option. This is not something, well, I can become a Christian, but I don't have to deny myself. Denying self is not an admirable characteristic of a unique Christian. Jesus did not say, some of you will mature to the point to where you will deny yourselves. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. If anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to be a Christian, if anyone desires to go to heaven, you must deny yourself. Every single one who follows me, everyone who is going to gain the inheritance of my Heavenly Father, must deny themselves completely. It's not an optional path to obtain a closer walk with Christ. It's not just for some Christians. It's for all who will follow Him. Denying self is, in fact, the first and most basic step of discipleship. It is universal in its application. Anyone who desires to be a disciple of Christ must deny themselves. It's not a secret requirement. In Luke chapter 9 and verses 57 through 62, we read, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' 'I will follow you wherever you go.'" Well, that's good. "But you need to know that I don't know where I'm going. I don't have any certain place. But that's what it takes to follow me. Follow me wherever I go. Wherever I take you, whatever I teach you to do, follow me. Deny yourself. Let go of what you think you need and who you are, and follow me." Another said to him, he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." It's interesting. Here we have three different people that as they journey along the road, two of them said, "Lord, I will follow you." To the first one he said, "That's good. Follow me wherever I go. Deny yourself and follow me." To another, he invited this one to follow him. And he says, "I'll follow you, but I need to first bury my father." Some commentators have said it may not have been, when we first read this, we might think, well, that his father just died and the funeral is imminent. But other commentators have said that maybe his father was in poor health and he had a responsibility at home to take care of his father and that sort of thing, and he was focused on that responsibility that he had. And it might have been some time, maybe several months or a year or more before actually his father would die. This man was spiritually alive. Jesus had that perception that this man was had the potential of being great in the kingdom. But he's going to have to deny himself. He's going to have to leave his responsibility to perhaps others in the family and come and follow him. Did the man do what Jesus said? Let the dead bury their own dead? Did the man follow him? Did the man deny himself and follow Christ? I don't know. What would you do? Hard decision to make, isn't it? With the emotions and responsibilities and all that is tied to that. Do you see what it means to deny yourself? To follow Christ? Another said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me bid them farewell at my house. Seems like a reasonable request, doesn't it? Just let me go back and say goodbye to everybody. I'm leaving so that they don't send out some kind of amber alert for me or something. But here again, it seems that there's more than just a saying goodbye. And there's in the answer of Jesus, there's more of a pressing of the fact you need to understand what it means to deny yourself. Jesus could see this one was looking back. He wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to have those at home and he wanted to have following Christ at the same time. He wanted to have his life and the life of Christ. Jesus could see that, and thus his answer. You can't put your hand to the plow and look back. There was more to this request of this third man than what his words indicated. Jesus looked into his heart. In Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 through 33, it says, Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we read that and we say, That just sounds so weird. We're to love our neighbors, we're to love our enemies, and now we're to hate our family and those who are closest to us. No, it goes to the point of denying self. It goes to the point of, do you love Christ more? As Jesus would ask Peter, do you love me more than these? That's what is being spoken of here. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's what we noticed earlier. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. You see, this point comes up over and over and over again. What does it take to follow Christ? Can we hold the hand of Christ and the hand of ourself at the same time and the hand of the world at the same time, you see? No. You have to let go of self. Which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? I will follow Christ. Count the cost. Count the cost. Think about what you're saying. Lest after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish, and all who see begin to mock him and saying, This man began to build, but was not able to finish. Verse 33, So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Forsake all that we have? Or look at all that we have in a different way? It's not ours. God has blessed us with these things to honor Him, to serve Him, to bring others to Him. That we commit these things to Christ. They're not for self, but they're for Christ. He's given us richly all things to enjoy, but we enjoy them so much more when we share them with others. Deny self. It's not easy. No one's saying this is easy. Jesus is not saying that it's easy. He's just saying you have to do it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul made the statement, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I'm not living for myself anymore, he says. I'm living for Christ, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's so much in that statement. Why did you deny yourself, Paul? Because Jesus denied himself for me. He left the glory of heaven to come and live as a man, to speak the words of love and truth and peace, to be rejected by men, to have people cry out for his crucifixion, to have people belittle him and speak evil against him, when all he had was love in his heart for every single one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 through 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He has purchased our soul with his own blood, shed out of his great love for us. If we have accepted that great sacrifice on behalf of payment for our sins, then we are not our own. We must indeed deny ourselves. This will not be found within ourselves. We don't deny ourselves because we come up with the idea that we must deny ourselves. That to follow God, we must deny ourselves. In fact, even after God teaches us that we must deny ourselves, we think that we don't have to completely deny ourselves. Just so long as we confess Christ and say we're a Christian and worship and go to Bible study and pray and but to completely deny myself, I don't have to do that. You see, we would never come up with this on our own. Because, as the truth of God's Word teaches us from Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own step. We do not instinctively know that we're supposed to do this. God needs to teach us who we are, what we were created and what we were saved to be. Denying self shifts the focus of one's entire life. It is no longer about me, about my desires, my affections, or defending my honor. The old self must be denied and disowned. God has to become the center of my life, the reason for my life, the reason that I live, the reason that I do everything that I do. In my marriage, in my job, in the church, in the workplace, in the marketplace. How we interact with people, the attitude that we have towards others. You see, if we remain so focused on self all the time, we want people to be impressed with us. Now, I don't want anybody to be impressed with me. I want people to be impressed with the Lord who saved me, the God who created us, the God who loves them. In order to do that, I must deny myself. His will animates my activities. What am I going to do? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to do it? How does God want me to say it? How does God want me to live it? That's what it means to deny ourselves. His desires provide my direction. Attacks upon his honor will summon my strongest protest and defense. Attacks upon his honor come at him from every angle today. They come from the world. They come from members of the church. They even come from within ourselves. And we must allow the Word of God, that mustard seed, to change our attitude towards all of those things. Because of persecution and fear of rejection, we have a tendency to let God be denied and let the wonders of creation be spoken evil against as if they just naturally happen. And they declare the wonders of God. But because we're afraid to be persecuted, we won't speak up and defend Almighty God. We won't challenge people to be reasonable. Because we're afraid they're going to make fun of us. Will they make fun of you? Yeah. These days, long and hard. But that's okay. Remember what God said to Ezekiel? Ezekiel, I'm sending you to these people. They're in sin. You need to have a message to teach to them, to tell them they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to repent. But you, Ezekiel, have to say these words. You have to give this message to them. You have to make them think. You have to speak these words. And so much of what Ezekiel said to those people was, this is what's going to happen. And when it happens, you'll know that I am Almighty God. Fulfilled prophecy is what Ezekiel was really all about. His words didn't bring anybody to repentance until after the fulfillment of the prophecy was realized. And then the people would say, yeah, this is the Word of God. This isn't just the thoughts of men. It's not just what this person thinks about it, and I have what I think about it. No, this is what God says about it. And I need to hear what God says about everything. And when God says we must deny ourselves, I need to listen to that and take it very, very seriously and consider what all that encompasses. Jesus demanded to deny self is the fundamental change of life. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Why would anyone do that? If it requires that I completely deny myself to follow Christ, why would I do that? Because Jesus completely denied himself to save me. Jesus completely left the glory of heaven to come here and to die for us, to pay the price for our sins. You know, it's interesting to me how that Jesus will make a statement like this: if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And we think, man, that sounds impossible. But when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, that sounds kind of impossible too, but I can try that. I can try to treat other people the way I would like for them to treat me. And then Jesus says, love your enemy. And we say, it's hard enough to love your neighbor. Love your enemy. But I can try that. But as long as the word love is there, we say, okay, I can try that. But when we say, you must deny yourself, we think, well, I don't want to do that. Right? Why is it that people don't want to come to church? Why is it people don't want to be a Christian in the religious sense of the word? Well, they believe in God. They believe in Christ. They want to go to heaven. So they're a good person. But they don't want to do what the book says. Why? Because that involves denying self. Friends, let me tell you something. There's no difference between denying self and loving others. It's the same thing. Denying self and loving God, it's the same thing. We can't truly love God until we completely deny ourselves. And we say, well, that sounds... Well, there's another word for it. This denying self. It's called repentance. Now everybody says, oh, okay, I've done that. I've done that. I know the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. I've been baptized, so I've confessed. That's certainly clear. So I must have repented. Did you? Did you? Why did you repent? Well, repent means to turn around. Yeah? Turn from what? Well, turn from my sins and turn to Christ, to walk in the... Turn from unrighteousness to walk in the path of righteousness, right? When you made that turn, did you make that turn with the intention of denying yourself? It's no longer I who lives. It's no longer living for me. It's not about me anymore. It's about living for Christ and letting His will be seen in my life. Why would anybody do that? To change the fundamental reason for their living. Because Jesus did it for us. The love of Christ constrains us. That if Jesus denied Himself for me, why shouldn't I deny myself for Him? If He did that for me so I can be where He is, why wouldn't I deny myself for Him? And whatever He would have me to do, that's what I'll do. Is that what you'll do? Will you live for Him? If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and come after me. Anyone, everyone who comes after Him that's going to be where He is will have denied themselves completely and entirely. They've got a completely different attitude towards the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, when you develop this deny yourself attitude, the things of the world don't mean anything anymore. But the things of righteousness and godliness mean everything. You know, everybody heard what Jesus said that day. You might have heard, and certainly I know you've heard with your ears, but have you understood today? Do you think being a Christian is just about attending worship services and Bible study? About enjoying the fact that God hears and answers your prayers? It's time that we get serious about following Christ, that we empty ourselves of ourselves, that we might fill ourselves up completely with Him and let Him be seen in our lives. If you're here today and you're ready to take that step into Christ, we'd encourage you to take it. Would you please come as we stand and sing? The song's been selected.